Misunderstandings that cause us pain.
Is clarified by truth to bring love again. Clarified by truth to bring love again.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم has stated, أولى الناس بي يوم القيامة أكثرهم علي صلاة. The person closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who would have recited salat upon me abundantly in the world. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers on Monday channel, welcome back to our series Misunderstandings, in which we are discussing misunderstandings and the importance of understanding each other. What are the causes and what are the solutions of misunderstandings? And in the previous episode, we covered, you know, the causes, which was the shaitan, your own nafs, and the society and your surroundings, and what sort of misunderstandings they can cause and the destructions that it can lead to. And we left off with this question after the example that we gave, that, you know, sometimes we need someone else to let us know about ourselves. And we said that, you know, the post-it note example, if someone places on your back, you know, they've written punch me or kick me, it takes another person to tell you that, you know, you've got this. And we were discussing that, you know, why don't people tell each other about this? Why do people fail to do this? Why do people fail to be kind? Where is this coming from? Is this also a misunderstanding that has been placed in our hearts? We will discuss this, inshallah, with our beautiful guest who has joined us from Birmingham. Abdul Rahman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, Mahad?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. So this question, why is it only a few people, you know, who manage to guide us towards what is right and, you know, something that we need to know, they actually tell us?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, to do good, it's always difficult.
Okay.
Right? But to do evil, you'll do it so easily. So we have a lot of distractions. And then upon what the time which we are living in, we have a lot of distractions which make us involved in evil, in the wrong things. And sometimes it's the desires we talked about also. These things, again, you know, to desire to do evil, it's there all the time. But to do the desire to do good, keep in mind, always goodness will take effort, will take sacrifice.
Why is that?
It's just the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, that with goodness, that there is effort, and, you know, to achieve Jannah, it's not easy, right? If you think you're just going to achieve Jannah in such an easy way, it's not going to happen. And whether you look at the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, the Prophets of the Sahaba, all these great people, they went through these challenges, they went through this hardship. Even, you know, you talked about why only a few people are advising towards goodness. Many reasons can be involved with this, that why only few people. One is that there are a lot more people inviting towards bad. Right? So the work towards evil or bad is more. The work towards goodness is little. Even those who are involved in good, at times they are involved in good of themselves, but they're not looking for good for others. They might be good themselves, but they're saying, okay, my life is my life, leave him to it. Right? And this thinking of advising others or doing good with others, this is with just unique people, the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they pass on this understanding to the people who are in their surroundings. Just like we have this by our Shaykh Amil Sunnat, Hazrat Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Qadri, Dhamad Barakatum Laliya. Through, he has this mind and he's putting this mind within us and all those who are attached with this environment of Dawat Islami. So that's where why it's only a little amount of people who are involved in good, where the vast majority, and, you know, it's involved in enjoying themselves in luxuries of, and there's so many other distractions. It's not just one, right? if you base it upon one distraction, it's not just it's not just distraction of money, wealth, fame, status. You got so many different things. Whereas to do good, you have to kill all these desires. You have to let go of at times. You have to let go of wealth. You have to let go of your fame. At times you have to let go of your status in different ways. Why? Just to be humble in the court of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And this is why at times it's difficult.
Take sacrifice. And even someone, for example, who wants good health, they have to sacrifice as well. For example, they would go out jogging, or they would control their diet. They have to sacrifice these things for a good health.
And it's sacrifice with anything, And if you want to earn money, you still have to sacrifice, right? You have to sacrifice, your time towards it. You got to sacrifice. But a lot of these things, it's because it's a worldly benefit in this, right? It's easy to understand. Whereas the concept of akhirah, it's some a reward which you will get in the next world. Right?
And it's unseen.
And it's unseen. So it becomes difficult at times to, the time will come, we will see.
Allah.
Right? But at the moment, we like to have that benefit which is right in front of us.
Immediate
benefit, even with wealth sometimes. He sets up a business, he makes all the calculations, and according to his calculation, he will be earning this much. You think he's happy just over that? No. Till he sees that wealth in front of him, he doesn't feel that full happiness over it. So in regards to the matters of the akhirah, because of all this struggle with life, the struggle with the desires, the struggle with shaitan, it's all for the afterlife. So because you don't see it directly, and it's going to be given to us in the next life, you don't think in the same way over it.
So it requires a lot of patience.
Ji.
That, even though you may not be getting that short-term gratification, but in the end, you've got a reward which is unimaginable. The coolness of the eyes which no one has ever seen. So patience plays a key part in this as well.
Alhamdulillah. Definitely.
And you mentioned surroundings, and we were just talking, and we realized the first surrounding a person receives are the family he's born into, the parents,
the household,
the parents, especially the mother and the father, who are supposed to do such an upbringing of the child, give them these qualities of patience and all of this. But we sometimes see that upbringing doesn't take place in the manner that it should be. Could you mention some things about this as well? Upbringing, tarbiyat, is this sometimes a cause of misunderstandings later in life as well?
Definitely, Mahad bhai, when we talked about society earlier, we talked about environment. And when the environment you've been in for many years, it is what you become. So your household is that first step of that environment, right? And your upbringing is the first aspect of your environment. And if your upbringing did not start in the right way, or did not start in the way according to the deen, let me start, even before you can say the upbringing of the child, right? The actual fact is, it goes well beyond that, right? When a person is looking for a wife, right, he should be looking for a pious wife. Why? So that pious wife, she will bring up the children in the right way. So first of all, that mentality is not there. If you look at what causes to go into all this misunderstanding, you can start from a very from a long way behind, right? So if that two couple who are getting married, the marriage is not for the deen, the marriage is for the worldly matters or whatever, for the wealth or beauty, whatever the reason is, or for status, and the marriage is not for the deen, then when that child is born, right, you can understand that how that child will be affected by it.
I'm just going back to I'm trying to get the source of these problems. It's just going back to the knowledge of the deen. That the Prophet from his hadith, we are taught, a woman is married for four reasons, and for her beauty, or for her wealth, or for her family background. And then he mentions the deen as well. So you should pick the deen. And if someone knows this and he acts upon this, You know, he will save his future generations. But if someone doesn't act upon this, you know, one thing is not knowing it. And then another thing is knowing it, but then your desires again overtake you and you still pick the other choice. So does it all go back to that root of, you know, Islamic knowledge, and parents should also have Islamic knowledge?
Yes, definitely. You know, it's important that the mindset of Islam be in our minds in every aspect of life. It's not just marriage or children or bringing. If you even look like business, you know, if you don't have the knowledge of how to do business in the right way, in the halal way, that business, you might end up doing it in the wrong way. You might end up doing putting down them conditions, even in partnership, which are against the Sharia, right? And so where it comes down to is knowledge, is having the understanding of it. So in this matter here, you know, if you want your children to be brought up right, then you need to have that, or to them to be pious, or them to be good, then it should be within your mind at the start that to have good children, I need a good partner, right? And then having a good partner, it just doesn't end there either, right? It's the upbringing which is the next stage, which we talked about. And you know, upbringing is important. How you bring a child up, right? It will save you from any misunderstandings, because you have brought him up the way you wanted to bring him up. You have brought him up according to the deed. But what's happening now is we are bringing him up in different, so many different ways. And then we want them to be pious, we want them to be religious, we want them to be involved in ibadat or any type of goodness. But they don't. Why? Because of the upbringing. The upbringing here would be that, you know, if you didn't tell your child to pray, or you didn't involve him in praying, or you didn't teach him salah, and then he gets to the age of what, 15, 14, whatever age he gets to, and you now you want him to pray. It's not going to happen just then. It's that step all the way to this. The name of Allah being on his tongue from start, from day one, right? The zikr of Allah. What happens in our societies when a child is, when a baby is there? How do you put a baby to sleep, right? You know, Amil Sunnat, Damat Barakatumul Aliyah mentions and talks about this, that how do we put a child to sleep? We put a child to sleep by playing music or by playing something or another to put him to put him into the state of sleep. Whereas if you were to mention the name of Allah to that child, you know, you can tap that child's back and he say, Allah, Allah, Allah. And the child will think, that's like, it'll be like a beat going into his heart, the name of Allah. And if that's how he will go to sleep, think what it will be in his mind, in his heart, the name of Allah. In the same way, when he's growing up, right, if those parents who are in the home, they are performing namaz, right, the mothers, when they're performing namaz, the child is observing this, he's seeing this, my mother is praying. And we see this, that those homes where their mother is praying, what happens? The child also goes down in sajda. Right? He just lies down. He doesn't even do the sajda in the right way, but he just lies there, copies that way of his mother. So this is the upbringing, right? And when you will give that upbringing there, so tomorrow that child won't say no to salah. If we do this with our children, do you think our children are going to go away from the zikr?
Yeah, but we don't have time. I am busy. You know, we need to give him some food. Otherwise, you know, he's going to die. But we, you know, is the dying of the heart more important than dying of the body?
SubhanAllah. Definitely the heart. The heart, which if the heart is dead, then it's not worth being alive, right? Whereas, you know, the body can die, but because he had a good heart, he will get ajr in the next world. But, you know, coming back to this point of upbringing the child in the right and the education and the mindset, why does it, this, you know, why, how is it related with our topic of misunderstanding? Is because if you want your child to be on the way which you are on, or on the right way, then you need to make that connectivity from day one. If that connectivity is not made by day one, you will find he will choose his own way, or he will choose the way of the society which he goes out in. As soon as starts to get older, the company he will go into. I remember, you know, my children, we had a park behind our house, one of the properties I lived at. It was right behind our house. But I wouldn't allow my children to go and play in the park at the back on their own.
Okay.
Right? I would go with them. Why? Because I knew the sort of society which was there.
Mm.
And people around them were going to be swearing, and the people around them are going to be smoking, and the people around them are going to be doing all sorts of bad stuff.
Mm.
Right? The child is going to adopt that. So if, even if they want to do play, you would have that vision that you either take them to the right place or you keep them safe.
Mm. You know, we will clarify this topic a bit further, but you know, this point that you've mentioned here, that you know, you would go out with them to the park. My question is, someone doesn't have that time, or he says he doesn't have that time, and you know, but he, you know, parents still want their children to be brought up well, but they just don't prioritize that, and they think that, you know, we need to, you know, work for our children, or you know, let's get a bigger house for them, and you know, the kids, they go off on the wrong path. Is it the absence of tarbiyah that causes this problem? And if someone doesn't have time, is that a misunderstanding in himself that I don't have time? Definitely. I can't make time for my children?
And it's probably one of the biggest misunderstandings.
Okay.
I'm not saying that we don't have time.
Mm.
Right? If you look at everything which we favor, mm. which we want to do, we make time for it.
Mm.
But what is the thing which we don't have time for? It's our deen.
Mm.
And is the education or the time is we spent with our children in the right way.
Mm.
We think we don't have time for it because we don't want to make time for it.
Why not?
It's because, again, the distractions around us and the way we want to live our lives, we're more interested in wealth, we're more interested in our luxuries, our comforts, our things. We're not interested in bringing our children up in the right way. We're not interested in acting upon the deen ourselves. So if we are not interested in acting upon the deen ourselves,
mm.
how will we able to give our children that mindset?
Mm.
How will we able to bring them up? This is another, you can say, misunderstanding. You know, it's a big misunderstanding that we want our children to become good,
mm.
we're not bothered ourselves.
Allah.
We want our children to read namaz, but we're not reading a namaz ourselves.
You know, right?
We want our children to earn halal, but we're not earning halal ourselves. Isn't there going to be misunderstandings?
Yeah,
definitely.
You mentioned this, and you know, it's a question. It's a big question mark on our heads. You know, one story, one of our uncles, he mentioned that and this man, he came out of the masjid, came out of the mosque, and you know, he's trying to tell his son not to smoke. And his son smoked. And so they come to the mosque, and after they come out the mosque, the father gets a cigarette out. He lights it up, and he's stressed out, and he smokes in front of his child. And the child, he looks at his father, and he says, you know, you've just complained to the uncle in the mosque that I smoke, and you're smoking yourself. You know, this is...
Mm.
Why is this?
A big misunderstanding will be made over this point.
Mm. You
know? And obviously, you know, when your son is observing that you're telling him one thing, you're doing the other.
Mm.
Same with Salah. You know, like some people say, oh, look, my son doesn't pray.
Mm-mm.
He only prays Jummah. You think, if you ask that what do you pray? You probably will find out that the father is only praying Jummah.
Mm.
So the son is just going to follow. For him, Jummah is just going to be important.
Mm.
Jummah is important. The Salat al-Jummah is important, but for him, that's the only important. Why? Because that's all he saw you do.
Hmm.
Right?
Subhanallah.
And if you woke your son up for Fajr or your daughter up for Fajr,
hmm.
and you perform namaz with them, right? They would give preference to that. They'll realize that this is important. Why? My father is waking me up and my mother is waking me up and we are performing namaz.
Hmm.
Right? So this will able to give them the understanding. This is what we need to be doing. And you see them children, who been brought up from childhood reading namaz, right? They don't have an issue later on in their lives.
Because they're
brought up in that way,
yeah.
Right? They continuously read, and they will give importance.
I think, you know, again, it goes back to those core points that we mentioned, mm. those misunderstandings that, you know, just because we don't see it, you know, we don't prepare for it. It's something that, you know, subhanAllah, we should really think about that, you know, a time will come when we'll be standing on the Day of Judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will have to, you know, you don't have another choice.
Yeah.
You don't have it's going to happen. So but we still don't prepare for it. And that's a great misunderstanding, which is causing other misunderstandings as well. And it's not just causing, you know, it's not just going to lead destruction for us, but also for the people around us, and especially our children. You know, parents, they love their children so much, but on that day, you know, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, you know, a man will run away from his brother, وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ, and he will run away from his mother and his father.
Allah, yeah.
What about that day, my dear viewers of Money Channel? You should really think about this misunderstanding in ourselves. Do we really prepare for our hereafter as it has the haqq of being prepared for it? But going back to this point of tarbiyah, we mentioned that this is also, you know, a form of future misunderstandings. But at that very moment, you know, parents complain that I've tried so hard to, you know, bring this child to pray, but he's so, you know, naughty, and he runs away, and, you know, he does all sorts, and he goes to school and he causes havoc. What about this?
See, a child is a child, and he's going to do this, right? And our deen teaches us ways of shafqat, ways of showing love, ways of showing passion towards the children. I remember, it's encouragement of doing good. There was one brother whose son made an intention of growing a beard.
Okay.
And this brother, I'm talking about back in the days where £500 was a lot of money. And he made the intention that I will give his son £500 just for making the intention of growing a beard. Right? He was encouraging him because of that good action. Right? Alhamdulillah, so
appreciating,
and, you know, something which we don't do.
Well,
a lot of the problems and misunderstandings occur is when our child does something good, we turn a blind eye to it. Right?
Yes.
And when he does something bad, that's it, he's gripped on it. He straight away is taken down.
That's what they complain. What, you know, young children, they complain that, you know, when I do something good, then no one's there to see, and no one appreciates it.
Yes.
If I do a little bit here and there, you know, naughtiness, you know,
it's like the example of, you know, the child picks up the glass and takes it to the kitchen. Right? He's never appreciated, but yeah. Oh, Jazakallah. Like, mashallah, you've done this. I'm so happy with you. But if the child didn't take that glass, you're always sitting there, you'll never take this, you'll never take anything. Right? You know, how would that child be feeling at the time? He's going to be, you know, when he did that good, he wasn't appreciated. But as soon as he forgot, or he was lazy in doing it, how he was, you know, taken down by his parents. This is some, again,
I think, you know, subhanAllah, this develops into a mindset that, you know, if I do good, I don't get attention. And if I do something bad, that's it, I get attention. I'm the middle, I'm the star. And this leads to, I think, a cycle of, perhaps, I don't know if there's any research on this, but perhaps that could be a cause of future crimes, a person commits crimes so that he's in the light.
Yes, you know, many things. Even if you look at some of the drug dealers, how they put someone to start dealing for them is they give them something in advance, right? As a what? You know, like we heard about the people who make children do their drug dealings for them. What do they do to these little children, to young child? They give him a gift. Say, yeah, have it, it's for me. And then they will approach that child. You know, county lines we covered.
Yeah.
In this country, we had a lot of this happening, that people were using children to do the drug dealing for them. And they were going from one place to another and taking their stuff for them. And how they get them involved was they would give them a little gift. And they say, oh, maybe a phone. Give me a phone. He's never seen anything like this. And then he's ready to do anything for that person. I just think about it, if the people who are involved in wrong can convince a child, why as parents, those who this is their child, why can't they give them something to involve them in towards good?
Maybe they don't have this amount of money to buy their child a, you know, beautiful phone. What should they do then?
It's not necessarily money or even buying a phone. That was just an example. It could be, you know, today a father, when was the last time a father's gone and sat with his son or taking him to a restaurant, right, and just sat down and spoke to him? In the same way, a mother with her daughter or son or whatever, you know, this could be a way of appreciation. You know, so nowadays what's happening is children are going eating their own with their own friends. The parents are probably having their own, you know, if they're going out to eat. These are moments of connecting. Right? These are moments when you spend a bit of time together in this way as a preacher. Oh, when he's done something, I'll take you out this Friday. I'll take you out this Saturday. Right? This could be a way of, it's not that you're spending a huge money. Other ways of like this, connecting you to your child.
According to one's capacity.
Yeah. We'll go out somewhere or some nice place, we'll visit there, because people are not doing this.
Mm.
Right? If there are many families don't get involved in this, they don't take their children out.
Mm.
They would just maybe go to do some hiking or whatever, or going to some nice place, just to have a little walk of fresh air with your children and spend a bit of family time with them.
But at this point that you mentioned, sometimes a child wants to be appreciated in a certain manner. You know, everyone has their own way of, expressing love, but everyone has their own way of accepting love as well. So, you know, the child wants to be appreciated in a certain manner, and the father wants to only appreciate him in a certain manner. Like the child, he wants to be, in front of the family, maybe appreciated by, someone praising him. Of course, that later on, the love to be praised, it should go. But at that stage, the child wants that.
Mm.
And the father, he just suffices by giving him a chocolate or something.
Yeah, it's understanding. It's important that you understand what your child would want, what he desires. It's common understanding that what your children like and what they don't. A lot of the times you see it, you see them involved in it. You see they have the passion for it.
Mm.
Or they want to do something like this, or they want to go to a certain place.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, they will mention it.
Of course, that's everything. My dear viewers of Money Channel, what we're discussing is first you have to weigh it on the scale of the Sharia. So if whatever the child is actually desiring and is okay in the Sharia, then we proceed on. That's of course.
Definitely, these sort of things which a father needs to know what the son desires. Even, normally the mother will know these things a lot better in our culture, you can say. But it could be the father will know better as well. But it's like, the mother knows what the child wants for food.
Why is that?
Because if she's cooking for him on a regular basis, and she will know what my child wants and what he doesn't. The father's outside working, right? Oh, it could be vice versa.
Yeah.
It depends on how your home environment is.
Mm.
So that person who from your parents will know more, who sees you involved in that.
Mm.
So if the father or the mother sees you liking this, what you are eating, then they will know that this is something which I need to cook for him more.
Mm.
Or this is something which I know he likes. And the things he doesn't like, he'll probably end up saying, oh, today I'm not feeling hungry. Today I don't feel like eating. Or I've ate. Or to make a few excuses.
Mm.
Even from these things, you will learn what my child wants and what he doesn't want.
Mm.
And it's the same with the sort of things he wants to get involved in.
Mm.
Some children not all children will get into sport.
Mm.
Not all children will go out to, they want to always go out.
Mm.
Right? Some children will like to spend good time at home.
Mm.
I mean, the parents don't even spend that good time at home with them.
Mm.
Right? So you have to look at the child and the way he is. Sometimes you have to take a child out as well.
Mm.
If he's so much isolated in the home, then you need to get him out and bring him out of that sort of, so that he gets involved in those things which you want him to do. Because if you want to do the work of Deen, and you want your child to do the work of Deen, and he doesn't want to leave his home, then how is that going to happen?
So there should be a balance.
Yes. So you need to, there are things which you need to make them active in, right? And then there's things you need to make them understand and make them realize that this is how things are. And then things of their desires. So a number of things you need to look within your child and then work along them things, inshallah.
MashaAllah. Dear viewers of Money Channel, you heard some beautiful pearls of wisdom from Abdul Hanan Bey regarding the upbringing of children and the misunderstandings which are the upbringing of children. And inshallah, we will discuss further in our future episodes, inshallah. Do stay tuned and keep watching Money Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Misunderstandings that cause us pain. Misunderstandings that cause us pain. Clarified by truth to bring love again. Clarified by truth to bring love again.